Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 369. That's a lot of episodes. My name is Christopher Kyo, and I am here with Travis Baum.
Hello.
And sitting in for Jeff is one of our buddies from Rocket League and Destiny and just in general playing some online games, Omer, otherwise known as Slugga. How's it going, man?
That's me. How you doing, guys?
Good, good, good. Today we are going to be doing a shorter show. We're doing some distractions, then we'll do some news, new releases, listener email, and we may have a new question of the week for you. We'll see how it happens. We're going to do it in one part, so it's going to be a one-part show. But before we get to any of that, let's see what's going on. Omer, first time on the show. Nice to see you, or talk to you.
Excited.
Tell me what's going on, man. How are things going?
Not too shabby, not too shabby. I finally picked up my 2 terabyte drive for my PS4 yesterday.
Nice.
So that was an exciting little adventure. It went mostly smooth, aside from a couple of harrowing little details. First of all, I bought the backup version that is actually in its own shell, so I kind of like halfway cracked that, getting it out of there. And then I installed I picked up the wrong update file on my on the drive.
On the USB drive?
Yeah. Oh. I picked up the update rather than the full install.
Yeah. I almost did that. When I did mine, I almost did that.
Yeah. Got that sorted out. And then today, as I was reinstalling stuff, I came back and it was stuck in the, going to standby screen on my PS4.
Oh.
And I had to do a hard shutdown. And when I did that and restarted, it went back to the screen as if I was reinstalling all the software, like, for the first time.
Mm. Yeah, see, I can't do any of, like, adding an extended hard drive to my PlayStation 4 because there's so many people that I know personally that are way smarter than me that have done this and talked about some of the issues and obstacles they've had to go through to overcome
really?
This. I am guaranteed, if I were to do that, guaranteed to fuck it up.
It really wasn't that bad. And
no,
I'm not
it's
that smart.
It's not hard to do. It's not hard to do. The only issue that I had when I did mine was that I used a USB extension cable when I did the backup.
Sure.
And that actually, I don't know if it like dropped my USB standard down to 1.0 or something like that, but the backup took 22 hours. The restore, I got rid of the extension cable and it took 5. So I have a feeling that crazy. that extension cable was the issue there.
Well, luckily I was eventually able to boot back in normally and all my stuff was still there. It had interrupted the downloads of, whatever I left going today.
Yeah.
But it seems to be okay still.
Okay, good. Good. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, so that was exciting. So now I still have like a 1.4 terabytes left or so with almost everything installed.
It's nice to have that, right?
Yeah.
I was fighting with the space for like the past, before I replaced it for like a month, I was fighting with the space. And then it just got to the point where it was like, I can't do this anymore. I need a new drive. And I just replaced it. So.
Yeah, I'm already like constantly deleting shit off of, and there are so many games coming. And I'm starting to get the itch to like go digital so I can, it's just so much easier to just, not get off the couch. So, I mean, I know it sounds like a first world problem and everything, but like getting off the couch, taking out the CD, put another one in there.
All right,
my CD case, well, the thing is my CD case is my CD tray is in a completely different room, because we just don't want it in the living room. There's no aesthetically pleasing way to put it there because we don't have like a huge entertainment center. We just have like the set piece and a couple of shelves and everything. So, so it has become more of a pain in the butt. But now with the advent of like preloading, available for every big AAA release that's coming out, I just like the digital space, but it's getting to the point where it's make or break time for that little, 500 gigger that's just sitting there inside the system. So
yeah, it just becomes a chore too to move stuff around every time you want to install a game. So
yeah, that was my big thing. It's like, I really don't feel like getting rid of this game because, it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, I might come back to it. I know I won't, but
yeah,
I might.
You still want it there. And if by some remote chance you do actually go back to it, you don't want to have to install it because then you definitely won't go back to it.
Right. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
That will just be a deal breaker right there. It's like, fuck that shit.
Yeah. So aside from a shiny new 2 terabyte hard drive, anything else going on, man?
I mean, gaming wise, it's been more of the same this week. Yeah. You know, lots of
Rocket we'll get to that.
Well, we're not
we'll
there.
We'll get
yet.
To that. Okay. All right. We'll get to that.
All right.
We got to talk about us first, man, for the first 15, 20 minutes.
All right.
Generally, that's what it's about.
Let's see. Nothing all that exciting this week. I installed a, you know, crazy new machine at work, so I've been working on that. That's been a bit of a chore. But, yeah, been a pretty uneventful week otherwise.
Very cool.
All right, cool. Travis, what you got?
Hi. The new job, still pumping away, pretty good. It's actually really nice. I like it. It's, when I was at my previous job, we were in this, town on the outskirts of downtown Charleston, called, Daniel Island. And it's a really nice place. It's where all the new money is in town. And, it's just easy to park, easy to drive home, easy to, you know, go in the morning. It's really nice. And for a time, when I was at that job, there were some rumblings about us getting a new office downtown, and then just like the butterflies like are kicking in. And I'm like, oh man, a downtown office sounds amazing. That would be so cool. Travis, where do you work? I work downtown Charleston. How about it? You know, I was just really excited about it. So now this new job, we in fact already
downtown
work.
Downtown sounds a little exciting, but once you put Charleston at the end, it kind of loses its flavor. It's like, oh.
No.
Oh, it's like, that's no, right, you're in South Carolina.
But we're like on King Street. We're in the heart of the shopping district. It's a beautiful place to work and everything, like walk, like, you know, parking a car, working and everything. But that's the issue. Parking in a city is not very cool, and the luster of working downtown quickly drained away. Whether or not you have to park in the street and pay a meter, or there's no parking whatsoever, so you have to hit a parking deck and pay like $11 or $12 for the day. It became a pain in the ass. So I actually found this nifty, alleyway kind of behind our building where there's some parking spaces that have no signs saying, you know, if you park here, you'll be towed. So, it kind of rectified the parking situation and everything, but it was a hassle. I gotta say, like, the excitement for being, at my new job downtown.
They don't have like an area for you to park? I mean, so, okay.
It's downtown Charleston, man. There's no place to park.
I got my fill of working downtown Atlanta. Okay. I actually worked at the Biltmore, for about a little bit more than a year and a half, almost 2 years. And they had a deck for us. So the building itself had a deck. So I figured out that was the norm.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not, Charleston is nowhere near as big. It's like an eighth of the size of Atlanta. Right. So, you know, therefore the parking decks and everything are all run by the city. You know, all the money that goes into the city. There are no businesses or buildings who own parking decks around the area. Maybe a hotel owns one of them, if that. It's really tight quarters.
And it's still a small company though, right? So,
It's a small company, but it's 100% video. We don't do anything else but video, and that's what's been really, really great about it. So I don't have to split my time, like the last job, into websites, social media. I can just focus on video, which is really, really fun. But just readjusting to the new job. Meg was a little ill, the last couple of days. Got a bad migraine and everything. So when you're a dink, that means when she takes long naps because she's not feeling well, it's been video game time. It's been really really fun actually. But it sucks that she's not feeling good. But I got to play Far Cry 4.
Oh, you're sick.
All day
I'm gonna
today.
Go play games. See you later.
that's what happens. So,
yeah, that happens.
So I mean, if you have kids, see that's the difference. See, like if you have a sick spouse and you have children. You have all those responsibilities. Like, you have to have everything. But when you're a dink, it's all good. Because you can just, play video games the entire time. It's fun. So, hooray for illness. I do hope she feels better soon. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me, man. It's semi-uneventful in terms of things beside work. So, Chris.
Travis,
what's up?
I have a random question for you.
All right, hit me.
What do you think about the news lately about the, since I know your company deals with drones a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, the recent incidents of like people shooting down other people's drones. There was that guy on the pier, I think, that took one down or hit it with a fishing line. He actually cast into a drone, and then there's been the ones that are quite a bit worse that are, you know, like interrupting firefighters' work and getting shot down with fire hoses and such.
That is the drone operator's fault.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in, you know, so the FAA has regulations against this. There are no official sanctions that say who and, you know, who can or cannot use it per se, but they do have regulations as in your drone has to be operated via a Wi-Fi signal. So, it can connect to, the FAA's airspace regulations. So if, say if you're, you know, flying a drone and you're near an airport, once you hit a specific radius around the airport, it'll actually turn your drone around and remove it from the airspace, where, you know, actual planes are going in and out. So I'm all for that. I think they could be a little bit more strict. For instance, I think in order to fly a drone in any capacity, I think you should qualify for some sort of drone pilot's license. You know, take classes to learn how to at least go through the motions of flying it correctly, when and where not to fly. Because if people are going to... Now, if you're going to be flying around, you know, firefighters or police trying to save lives and help people, you deserve to get your drone, you know, splashed with fucking water. You deserve it.
Right.
Whether or not the person, you know, flying his drone around a pier was doing anything wrong, I don't think he was. So I think the fisherman was just being an asshat.
Right.
I did see that video. But, you know, I don't know. It's just a simple... It's ethics at this point. You know, you should know when, you know, when is and when is not the right time or a good place to fly the drone. It's just, you got to be responsible about it. Sadly, with all the reports coming out, I think the FAA is going to crack down pretty hardcore on it. Maybe have some height regulations. The pilot license stuff is probably going to go into effect. There's already been rumblings about that.
Yeah.
So, I think the regulations are going to be pretty strict because, the drone, I mean, it's the drone craze is kind of kicking off. So,
this is why we can't have nice things, right?
This is why we cannot have nice things. Right. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, with everything, people are going to be stupid about stuff. I mean, we see stuff in video games where people are stupid all the time with them.
All the time.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's, we got to punish everybody else when a few people are being assholes. So that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right.
So, yeah, drones. Yay.
Yay.
So, Chris, what's up, man?
Oh, man, nothing to report. Fucking work is busy, and that's pretty much it.
That's it?
Yeah. I really don't have anything else to report. So we can seriously move right into games at this point.
Nice.
Mary, you go first, man.
My first question is Indus Bar open tonight, or what's happening with that?
Yeah,
mine is closed.
Mine's open. I got a little Sailor Jerry straight up, because I don't have any soda.
Wow,
hey, make
okay.
Do what you got.
That's right.
Why not? What about you, man? What you drinking on?
Drinking a fantastic little collaboration between Stone and Wicked Weed and Ecliptic.
Okay.
Just a double IPA blended with barrel-aged Belgian-style triple, 9.5% alcohol, and a whole pint of it. So if I start slurring my speech later, now you know why.
If I start slurring my speech in about 5 minutes, now you know why.
So you're kind of a...
He's a connoisseur.
We've had this... Well, some people say connoisseur. Some people call beer snob.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, you're kind of one of those guys that... You're one of those guys who took offense at that Budweiser commercial where they were shitting on people who love craft beers. You're that guy.
I wouldn't say I took offense to it. I just, it's Budweiser. It's ridiculous, but what are you going to do?
It's a macro beer.
Yeah.
I shit on Budweiser too, so I'm not going to say anything. I think it's horrible. All the mass produced American beer, I just fucking hate it all. It's not good.
Well, yeah, they're just pissed because their sales are going down every year and craft beer is just exploding. So,
Well, yeah, because, you know, craft beer is good.
It's good.
Right? And their beer is not. I mean, exactly the way it is.
So,
yeah. But, let's talk some games.
Sure.
What's up, Omer?
Let's do that. Well, they finally released the first Rocket League DLC, so that's been pretty fun. I mean, it's not It's not a hell of a lot of stuff, but there's a couple of new cars. There's some new paint schemes or paint styles, I should say.
Okay.
Couple.
So is it all cosmetic stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all cosmetic. But, you know, it's the first of many. I read a developer interview as well, and supposedly they are working on many things. They're just trying to make sure that they can release things without breaking other things. So, you know, tackling one thing at a time. But we should see some wacky stadiums soon and possibly mod support, which sounds pretty awesome.
Oh, that would be cool, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Also read an interesting little stat on that interview, and that something like 80% of the user base on Rocket League is playing on PS4, which I'm sure has a lot to do with the fact that it's free on PS4, but still.
May have a small thing.
It's not free. It's not free anymore. Keep that in mind. It's not free anymore.
So how much is that joint right now when it's not free?
It's $20 on Steam. I know that.
So if it's $20 on Steam, it'll probably $20.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Still totally worth it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely worth $20. If you missed it free, get it.
And I did manage
easily got that much out of it.
I did manage to platinum it as well before they released the patch and a couple of new trophies, so that was cool.
Oh, nice. Cool.
And then let's see. Aside from that, played a little bit of Far Cry with Travis, but I'll let him talk about that since we're playing on his campaign. And it's been a pretty good couple of weeks for Xur, but I'm sure we'll get into that as well later on the Destiny.
I just got to mention that you know, we had a pretty incredible game the other night that was a little ridiculous while we were playing Rocket League, and it was me and Omer, and it was who else was with us when we actually just beat up on that other team.
Oh, that was bad.
It was me and you and Ken, I think. And yeah. I think was it D Rose? I think it was D Rose.
It was probably D Rose, yeah.
And oh my God, we just kept scoring. 5 minutes we were up 8-0. It was ridiculous. Yep. And they kept saying, like, every time we score, they were saying, "Dude, you suck." And I'm like, what? So it was, yeah. But it was ridiculous. I think everybody got at least one goal. And I think I came out of that game with a hat trick, actually.
Yeah, that game was insane.
It was just ridiculous. I mean, I was like, do these people even know how to play this game? I don't, did they match us up with, like, beginners? Is the matchmaking broken? I'm not sure. Cause the game before that, we had really, really good competition. Granted, they were asshats, but, you know, cause they were just, you know, I forgot what they were doing. They were like one game I know we had, which is frustrating, like score a goal and then they drop. And that's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was one game where they were just, I don't remember if it was that they were just running around trying to blow people up the whole time or what it was, but yeah, it was annoying.
And one more observation about Rocket League that I made the other day that was, it's a game where you can absolutely start with just two people playing online, and within, I'd say, 10, 15 minutes, that number is going to grow and just keep growing until you have a full party of eight going forward. 4v4 in private games. It seems to happen pretty much every time I play that damn game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, waiting for people to jump online, or just, you know, they'll be in the middle playing something else like Destiny or Elder Scrolls Online, and then them to check their friends list. Once they see one or two people on Rocket League, it's like they immediately shut it off and join everybody else.
Yeah, it's just kind of what happens to how fun that game is to play with people, to the point where last night, I think we had seven in a party, and Bleak jumped into our party chat, and he's never even played Rocket League. He was like, "Lots of people on my list playing Rocket League, but, you know, in the Bleak accent that I can't do." No, but he was obviously thinking about it. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in there before long.
Bleak, you need to do it, man. Join. Join up.
Was that free stuff on the European PlayStation Plus?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do they get different games? Is that possible?
I think he has both. I think he has...
Okay, so he has an American account as well?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And I think he did say that he has it. He just hasn't played it yet.
Yeah, he needs to jump on. I need to jump back on. Shit.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, the new stadium is pretty awesome too.
It is. It's pretty cool.
It looks so much bigger because you can't really see the walls until you're actually on them.
Right.
So it looks like a dome free stadium, but it's still there.
Cool. Yeah, I still have to, before we play again, I'll have to download that. I still haven't coughed up $4?
It's $4.
$3.99. Oh, yeah.
No, the stadium is in there. That's part of the free DLC. Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Cool.
The stadium is free. The only thing you pay for is the new cars and decals and stickers.
Yeah, all the cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, I should still buy it anyway, though.
Yeah. That's a good way to do DLC, man. Just make DLC cosmetic. It's good stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's another thing they mentioned in that interview is just that they don't want to make it, they never wanted to make it a free-to-play, so they want to avoid overcharging for DLC, and, they want to keep the fans happy, so
yeah.
It seems like they're doing the right thing.
Yep. I agree. It's good stuff. People should play it if you haven't already.
Hell yeah.
What else?
Gaming-wise, there was a pretty good deal on mobile. I don't know if you guys play that much, but, Infinity Blade. That's what it is.
Sure.
Yeah, they were selling the entire trilogy this week for $5.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I had already played the first two, but buying the entire trilogy was actually cheaper than buying just Infinity Blade 3. So, I picked that up just to play Infinity Blade 3, and it is pretty awesome. They actually added like a whole storyline to it, and
right.
I mean, they sort of had one before, but it's more in depth, and you actually now have like a home base, and you can get a gem cutter and a guy that upgrades your weapons, and there's a lot more to it than there was in the previous two games. So it's been pretty fun.
Cool. Yeah, it's good stuff. And speaking of mobile, I haven't really gotten into it, but for Android users, they just released the Fallout one. What was it called?
Fallout Shelter?
Yeah, Shelter. Shelter just came out this past week. So you can download that now on the Android on the Google Play.
Mm-hmm. I hope you don't like leaderboards. As long as you don't like leaderboards here.
Because apparently they got hacked, but whatever.
Well, they also added a bunch of new stuff to Fallout Shelter along with the release, I think. Like they added Death Claws in and you can build more stuff and... So it wasn't just they sort of timed an update to the game itself with the Android release.
That's pretty cool.
Gotcha. Yeah, good stuff. Anything else?
Nope. I think that covers it for me.
Travis, what you got?
Hey, let's see. Far Cry 4. Been playing a lot of that.
Jump right in.
So, obviously at the end of the day, the things that we said earlier about Far Cry 4 when that game first came out, that it's Far Cry 3.5. It's still there. It's not like the most fun thing playing by yourself. Half of the stuff you do in a game is still like nothing but busy work, going from tower to tower to unlock those and going from outpost to outpost to free those and doing, little dink and dunk missions and everything like that. So at the end of the day, it's still like super busy work. It's not very appealing. Storyline, I'm getting deeper and deeper into it. It's not very appealing. At the end of the day, I would give this game as a solo experience like a 6.5 out of 10. It's just not very interesting.
But
until you invite a friend over and you play co-op, the single player, the basic single player co-op, you bring somebody in your game and you just wreak havoc upon the AI. It is the most fun. So Amir and I have jumped into Far Cry 4 a good 3, maybe 4.
Yeah,
3 or 4 times. Every single time we have had an absolute blast playing this game. Which reminds me, you remember that? Okay, so there was a moment where we were both flying in helicopters, or the little glider helicopter, whatever.
Right. It's like an ultralight little chopper thing.
Like one man sits in a cockpit, and another guy can hang off the back of it, and so it's just big enough for that. So I go and land mine on one cliff around this outpost because we're gonna attack it from two separate ends. So he goes and lands in this this cliffside area that kind of slopes down towards the canyon, but has a whole bunch of trees and everything, a lot of foliage in a way. So he attempts to go and lands there. So he lands his copter, hops out, but then the next thing he knows, his helicopter starts speedily sliding down the mountain and heading toward the edge of the cliff. And he runs and hauls ass. He's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And I'm just like sitting there in the air and I'm just watching him. I'm like, I'm right there. And the copter is just sliding and tumbling down. And then as it's leaving, like it's hitting the air and it's leaving, he is able to hop in and start the helicopter back up as it's falling to get it back up. And so there was nothing with the enemies. There was no firefight. There was no nothing. It was just some random bullshit physics situation that created one of the coolest things I've ever seen happen in this game. And it's
did you
little
record
things
it?
Like
I mean,
that. I do have it. I do have it recorded. And Omir,
I mean, it's hard to picture. I'd like to see that.
If I have time tonight, I'll upload it to like Facebook or something to show it to you and everything. Okay. But I've been meaning to upload it just to have Omir have it because he needs to see it. He lived it. He was there. It's totally Tampax, but he needs to see it from a third party.
No, I remember you saying at the time, he's like, I'm saving that clip. That was awesome.
It was very cool. So little moments like that, man, are great. And the monotonous, pain in the ass, chore worthy things you do on a day to day basis, on a minute to minute basis in Far Cry, it's a complete 180, and it immediately turns fun when you add an extra person into the mix. It is, and it's a shame that you can't do any of the story missions with two players. It would kind of mess with the framework
the
of
balance.
You being of you being that. You know, this single person going out. So it does, excuse me, it does mess with that quite a bit. But I don't care. Just let us do it. It'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, it does let you do every single other activity, but you
every single other, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a blast, you know, whether you're, and some things you almost have to do co-op because they're extremely, extremely hard. Like there are four, well fortified fortresses in the game. And they're extremely difficult to do. I mean, my character's almost completely maxed out right now. And it's still a chore, like more than a chore. It's just flat out difficult to take out one of these. So we got to take out Pagan Men's fortress sometime this week. No mayor. So
I'm telling FYI, that for sure.
and
more dynamite fishing because I
and more dynamite fishing for sure.
That was fantastic. That was another one of those things that was just
randomly discovered. You know, you can shoot a grenade launcher into the water, and there's an explosion and like two or three fish just fly, you know, 20 yards up in the air. You never would have discovered that if you're just fucking around with your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's fun, and it allows like some really, really cool chases, because one of the things in Far Cry, obviously you can, you know, drive around in vehicles, but if you're playing a solo game and you're driving through, you have to drive and you also have to shoot at the same time, and it can become a little bothersome, you know, and they even added like, you know, you click the L3 button and it'll auto drive for you so you can focus on shooting the car in front of you or on the side of you. But it's clunky. If there's a sharp turn, you're flying off the cliff. So you don't want to rely on the auto drive as gospel because it will screw you over in the end. So when you have two people, you have the ability to freely focus on driving while the other person is, you know, just laying waste to these people. And correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't remember Omir. So when you're driving, you're only allowed to use your sidearm. Whatever,
that's correct.
Yep. Yeah, whatever single hand weapon that you have in your sidearm slot. You can't pull out a rocket launcher or a heavy machine gun while you're driving. That would just be unrealistic.
but when you're a passenger, when you're a passenger, somebody else is driving, you can use whatever the hell you want.
So it adds extra firepower. It makes the chases a lot more exciting. So it just makes Fallout 4. It turns, if I played Fallout 4 and I did nothing but co-op, it would take my 6.5 out of 10 single player experience, and it would immediately turn it into like an 8. Because it is such a blast. I mean,
it's been a lot of fun. Plus wingsuits.
And wingsuits. And I've learned how to wingsuit correctly.
I like how you use wingsuit as a verb.
Yeah.
I've learned how to wingsuit correctly.
I wingsuit all day. Yeah. So it's been a lot of Far Cry. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Far Cry is one of those games that I've been wanting to get back to, but just haven't gotten. It's like right now, it's like I really don't. There are a few games that I want to go back to, and I just haven't done it. It's like I just haven't had the motivation to jump back into the games that are sitting back. Like freaking Bloodborne and Witcher. I mean, I've got them sitting there, and I'm like, I want to go back to these games, and I just haven't had the motivation to do so.
Yeah, and it's gonna get tougher, man, because we're about to run the gauntlet.
That's right, Metal Gear, and then Taken King,
Metal Gear, Destiny, and Fallout. I got Madden coming out. I mean, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah. Those games are going to be one of those games that you just are supposed to go back to, but you just never do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I still haven't finished Bloodborne. Far Cry, you know, to go with what Travis was saying, I trudged through the single player, and it took me a while of going back and forth between that and other games because a couple of times I didn't think I was going to finish Far Cry, but I will agree the co-op is a hell of a lot of fun. And makes it a lot more interesting. And I mean, if you did want to go back to it, I would totally jump into co-op with you, and I'm sure Travis would as well.
Totally.
I only wish they would allow for more than two players, because that would be just chaos. And
It would be fun. I'm sure there's like a PC mod or something that allows like four player co-op or something. I'm sure there is, or more.
Right.
So, other than that, like I said, I'm waiting for, I mean, the next game on my list, by the time this releases, we're going to be 7 or 8 days away from Madden, and I skipped last year, so I'm definitely going to be jumping on it this year.
Are you doing that now? Is it every other year for you?
Unless we see glaring advancements in the game year to year, I'm not gonna get it every year.
Okay.
They're not evolving fast enough for me.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm excited about this one. I mean, they're really, really good advancements to the passing game. The wide receiver versus cornerback or safety battle is really, really good. Like you can look at videos online, man, cause you're a football fan. So when you look at videos online, you can see the fight for the ball in midair. It's really exciting. So, looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. So, what about you, man?
Only other thing I have to add is, Nightfall disappointment in Destiny.
Aww.
Cause that's a thing. But this week, I ended up with 3 exotics, and all 3 I already had. So I'm trying to remember.
If
what
only
they were.
There was a way for them to fix the RNG to where, it knows what you already have, and gives you a better shot. If they could only do that,
they can, and they are.
Apparently,
but by that time, who gives a shit about Hawkmoon? Because there's going to be something else. You know,
there's going to be a lot of other things.
So, so we'll get into news with that as a nice little transition, I guess, because this was a big week for people who were missing the coveted Gallarhorn because Xur actually carried it today.
It.
Yeah, he carried it this weekend.
I think Gallarhorn was actually trending at one point.
It was trending on Twitter.
It was trending
nationwide.
On Twitter and on Facebook.
It was
ridiculous. Damn near broke the internet.
And again, you know, if Jeff was on here, he'd be shitting on Destiny, but how many video games that are not like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto do you see trend on Twitter like that? Not just the game, a weapon in the game trend on
like
Twitter.
One particular item from the game is actually
not
trending.
Only that, a year after said game's release, which is just insane. That does not happen.
Yeah, and it's been a weekend long event. The Destiny Reddit. Did you guys see that?
No. Yep.
Okay, so yeah, the banner has got a Club Penguin holding a Gjallarhorn, and it's a scrolling banner. Your mouse, your arrow
is a banner. Is a
Gjallarhorn. So you're clicking with the Gjallarhorn. It's great. So it's
a Gjallarhorn Windows theme. Nice.
Yeah, basically.
And there's all these posts on there too about the mods are all, you know, leveling their Gjallarhorns. Post shit you're not supposed to post on this post. On this forum.
Yeah.
So there's just all kinds of chaos on the Destiny Reddit right now.
Yeah. And there's videos of online people, you know, level 34s who have not gotten a Gjallarhorn, jumping around like lunatics as they're shooting a Gjallarhorn like crazy. And I mean, people are genuinely excited about this. But this, for me, this, okay. So it came out, Bungie made a statement and said this Gjallarhorn Xur release was completely by chance. Mm-hmm. It was a random chance. And I say bullshit, sir.
I said the same fucking
thing. I say bullshit.
I do not buy that at all.
I was silently telling myself, and I regret not making this prediction on the previous show, the last time we spoke about Destiny. I was waiting in the month of, in between now and September 15th, that we were going to get Xur selling Gjallarhorn. I just it was going to happen.
So I hold on a second. Let me. I just want to look at my calendar real quick. September 15th is a Tuesday. How much you want to bet September 18th he's selling Hawkmoon?
Pretty sure that's going to happen.
I would.
Pretty
sure. I would.
Or Fourth Horseman. You got to throw Fourth Horseman.
No,
in
you
there
don't.
As well.
Fourth Horseman is junk.
Fourth Horseman's gotten us a lot of shit in Prison of Elders. I wouldn't call it junk.
It has.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it junk.
Uses. It has uses.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, I mean, this is
about
obviously
as many
a situation.
Uses as super good advice. It's just. Yeah.
but if you really think about it, what is Hawkmoon for aside from Crucible?
That's
absolutely
it.
Absolutely nothing.
That's it. It's pretty useless outside of that. Same with the last word. Yeah.
So this is obviously a situation where Bungie put it in there. We know that it's getting debuffed. We know that there are tons of new weapons coming out in the Taken King. So if there was a time for them to, you know, resell Gjallarhorn, because it did, this was the first thing Xur ever sold, right? The first or second thing he ever sold.
Yeah, before, it was early on.
It was before anyone
nobody had
knew
strange
how,
coins by that point. That's the problem.
And also, no one knew how good it was on top of that, so it wasn't a hot commodity. This is obviously, you know, Bungie felt it was time to do this, and I cannot take their word as truth when they say that this was completely by chance.
Yeah. My little joke on that was that it was a guy named Chance that added it back into
Chance is the guy who does the
yeah. There's a guy named Chance, he works at Bungie, and he added it back into Xur's pool and said, "Here, sell this."
That's funny.
So yeah, so that's Destiny. And it's gonna be weird too, because like I said, we're getting so many weapons. I mean, we're gonna be in a situation where when Taken King releases, there are gonna be green drops that are better than what we have. So we're immediately going to be swapping from our exotics and our purples
back to uncommons.
Yeah, back down to green weapons. So that's going to be weird, but it just makes sense that, you know, seeing that's going to be happening, that the Gjallarhorn be available for everyone and everything. So
and they're changing the way a lot of the stuff works. Like they have light level is now associated with the item. So it's like item levels in WoW and that kind of thing, and you need to have
well,
certain
it's associated,
item levels to get into different missions and that kind of thing. So
yeah, the light level is associated with everything, and now we're going to be as many weapons with, you know, their numerical value of light, you know, of light on them. You're going to start accumulating that light. So, you know, as we level up to the maximum level 40, we're going to be finding new weapons with higher light levels, higher damage outputs.
Right.
You know, better perks. Yep. And they're setting it up via some of their Gamescom interviews. They're setting them up to where there's going to be no more you're going to see of like recommended level. It's going to be recommended light level. So that's how you gauge how strong you are. So everybody will be eventually level 30, but how truly strong you are is going to be gauged by that light number.
Yep.
And, you know, whether, you know, the new raid. Is King's Fall is going to have, you know, a recommended light level, and no one's going to touch that until they gather enough equipment to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so a lot of cool things there. So, but this
I heard
the
they are going to let you ascend the exotics again to make them more relevant. But
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely going to see those kind of.
But like raid weapons are going to get shuffled.
They're done.
To the end.
Yeah, they're, yeah done. They're done. Yeah, so yeah, so long, Fatebringer. And...
But they also said that the new guns just in the Taken King outnumber the guns in the original Vanilla Destiny release. So yeah. That is that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, there was a ton of shit. So.
Yeah, there's been a lot of updates on it this week, and plus they're doing for the next 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, they're doing their streams.
They're doing Twitch streams from the Taken King, like different portions of it. So that should be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the Twitch streams actually has someone that I follow on YouTube, and it's Mr. Fruit. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any of his content, but he's pretty funny. He's nice.
I have not, but
you should check out his Last Word review. He actually reviews the Last Word, and it's pretty epic.
Okay.
He does two of them, though. There's two of them. There's a 60-second one, which was recent, and then there's a more thorough one that's a little further back, and it's good stuff. So go check it out.
Nice. Alrighty. Moving on in the news, we have Resident Evil 2 is going to get a full remake from the ground up. It has been announced by Capcom just a few days ago. Is this something that we are excited about?
I don't care. I don't care. I really don't. I just, and it, I mean, I think that it's good because I know that there's a lot of people that love Resident Evil, but I just don't. I just don't. I played the first one and I've tried to get into the others and I just haven't been able to. Like even Resident Evil 5, I played that for about 3-4 hours and I was not pulled into it. I just was not interested.
Right.
So. It just kind of lost its flair after the first one.
Resident Evil 2 is, I mean, when you speak to the hardcore, the general consensus is going to say that 2 is their favorite. A lot of good stuff in 2, doesn't hold up for shit, so I am happy that they're remaking it.
Yeah.
But the question is it, you know, they did a great job with Resident Evil 1, the remake that originally unveiled on the GameCube and eventually got re-released in an HD remaster of a remake on PlayStation 4. So, you know, they do a good job, or they have done a good job with Resident Evil remakes in the past. But, you know, my question is, I mean, a full remake for a game that's, I mean, that was what, 96, 95, around there?
Something like that.
And that was a pretty ambitious game for its time. But we've seen Resident Evil since 4, make some huge strides in the direction they wanted to take Resident Evil. And, you know, now we're hearing, the Final Fantasy VII remake is going to be on, you know, is going to be vastly different in terms of gameplay than the original release. It's not going to be a traditional Japanese role-playing game that people were kind of hoping for. And I'm questioning whether or not that Capcom's going to do this. Are we going to see constant two players, even though the original storyline had your characters in, you know, kind of alone the majority of the game? Are we going to see co-op at all times, like the latest Resident Evils we've seen? So, I am interested in how they're going to cater to the Resident Evil 2 purists, but also kind of keep this game relevant with the times, especially seeing the way Resident Evil has evolved in the last, I don't know, in the last 5 years. So it'll be an interesting story to follow, but whether or not we need it, I'm with you, Chris. I just don't know. And I love Resident Evil 2, and I just don't know if this is necessary.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. So, some of the bigger news that came out, is that for folks who are really, really interested in seeing 7 whole minutes of leaked Fallout 4 gameplay, they can go straight to Pornhub. But guys, who are we kidding? They're only going to need a minute and a half, right? I mean, that's all they're going to need.
Now, I have to know, who reported this? How did you find this information out?
I know, this had to be, okay, so this originally came out of a few days ago. And that's my question. That was my first question. Who is the reporter who stumbled upon this? Because whoever it was immediately outed themselves that I go on Pornhub whilst at work. that's what they do, right?
That doesn't seem like that much of a stretch to me, though. I'm not surprised that came out that quickly.
No, they, I see what you did there. so, So yeah, I haven't seen this 7 minutes though. I haven't jumped on it. I'm trying to word it in a way to make it not sound like I was like pounding on a porn site or anything, but it's leaked footage. I'm not sure if it's from Gamescom or from someone from Bethesda or someone who had access to it and everything like that. But I guess they figured that this was the best venue to upload this video to not quickly get it removed. Sure. Because as of article that I pulled for this news, it's still up, and you would think that would be gone by now, but apparently it is still up. So yeah, Fallout.
That's a thing.
NSFW, guys.
And that's right.
You have to go check out that site, which I have never seen before.
It's true. I've never gone here. I might have to give it a shot. Just don't click the ads. Whatever you do, just don't click the ads. We saw some advertisement today for a new PlayStation experience. That's going to be dropping December 5th and 6th in sunny, beautiful San Francisco. And we had big news last PlayStation experience. The last time we had this event, we got 20 minutes of No Man's Sky, and we didn't even know what it was still, right?
Yep.
So, who knows what they're gonna, we're obviously gonna see No Man's Sky. We're obviously going to see Uncharted, because that got pushed back into 2016.
Yeah. I'm looking at the highlights from last year's PlayStation experience, and it was the teaser for Uncharted, No Man's Sky, Street Fighter V.
That's when they announced that it was exclusive, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, it got leaked like a day before, but...
Well, yeah.
It was announced.
It was officially announced.
But with all the info that came out at Gamescom for Microsoft, it should be interesting to see what new they're going to show, basically.
Yeah, because Microsoft kind of brought the wood to Gamescom. They really did indeed. So yeah, Sony's going to have to really step it up. Are we going to see their virtual reality? You think that's ready for December?
Well, I mean they showed it off at E3 already, so.
Yeah, they've been demoing it a lot. Yeah, it's just kind of a hard thing to show in a presentation, I guess.
Right, right. They're not going to show it in like any like keynote or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They apparently had this.
They
big
have to
area
show it at a
booth.
Keynote at some point. They have to.
But how? What are they going to show?
That's the thing. They true. You got a great point. But
Microsoft did a good job showing the
HoloLens.
HoloLens. That's right.
Yeah, but that's a completely different. Scenario
it is.
Because it's augmented instead of virtual, and augmented is kind of you just stick a HoloLens on a camera and it can see what you're seeing,
right?
You know, it's
exactly
like,
yeah, the only way they could possibly do that, and I even think this is impossible, if they have a VR headset in every seat,
right?
And they tell everyone in the audience to put it on at the same time, but even then to transmit that kind of a signal is impossible,
and even then you're only working with the audience rather than
People that are watching the stream and that thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they showed it off at E3, and apparently there was like an entire section of their booth that was devoted to it. There were a lot of reports on it and stuff like that. Like I was really interested in some of the things that Giant Bomb had to say, because they were talking about playing a shooter. Where they were using like one of the move controller, like the guns that hold the move controllers, and they were able to look down at like the move controllers, and they could see like a gun in their hands, and they could like move it around and see what it looked like and that kind of thing.
Right.
And like some of that is really, really cool and really interesting to me. So, but you know, again, it's not something that you're going to see on a keynote. It's something you need to be there in person to see.
Right, right. So. That's actually one of the obstacles to it, marketing something like that, is that it needs to be experienced to be appreciated and understood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to have kiosks set up
in stores. Yeah.
In stores like GameSpot or GameStop and Best Buy and those kind of things. So,
You can say what you want about the Kinect hardware in itself, but I think some people will argue the fact that Microsoft's advertising, their outside advertising of Kinect, was something that honestly has been unprecedented. Because they would ship out trailers to malls with, you know, like, you know, see-through siding to where people can, you know, utilize the Kinect and people on the outside can watch them do it and then wait in the line to try it again. I mean, they did tours of the hardware all over the nation. And
people, you know, still wanted it taken out of the box.
Exactly. But it sold, I would say Kinect sold, you know, pretty decently. It wasn't because half, not counting the stuff that was sold in box, you know, with a new system and everything, but it sold
pretty
decently.
You mean for the 360? Not the new one?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
No, they did a great job marketing the Kinect for sure.
Yeah. I think in order to get people truly hyped about virtual reality, they have to do something like that. Yeah. They have to put millions and millions of dollars into outside marketing. Being there on site, going to big cities, smaller cities, and just showing what this technology can do. Because, I mean, it's because when it comes out to retail, you're going to be spending from $300 to $400, maybe even $450 on just the headset alone. So people are going to need to try before they buy. It's not a $60 video game where people are okay with doing an impulse buy on a whim. You can't do that.
And if it's anything like the marketing for Kinect, they're going to need to show a lot of things that the hardware can't do at all.
Like what?
Yeah.
Like vastly exaggerating what the hardware is capable of. Much like the Microsoft marketing for Kinect.
Exactly. Because the booths, because I tried out the Kinect. I had a positive first impression just messing around with the Kinect when I was living in Atlanta. One of the local malls, you know, had it. It was over at Discover Mills Mall, Chris. In Buford. So, you know, we were there trying it out, but the first thing you notice is, you know, looking back, the first thing I should have noticed was that the spot in the trailer they had it set up was the perfect dimensions of a living room that you needed Kinect to work. So if you had anything smaller than what we were in, which was not extremely big, the Kinect wasn't going to work. You're going to have sensor issues and everything. So,
yeah.
So they had optimal, you know.
Well, and that's part of the marketing scheme, right? I mean, you have to you put a best case scenario out there, and you let people, you know, work with the best case scenario, and you worry about the, you know, it's all happy path when you put it out there to market. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the same thing as if you're going to look at a, you know.
It's the same thing with any product.
Right.
Any product.
Exactly.
Right.
They're going to show you the best version of it, you know,
sure.
Even though you can't afford the best version.
Right. Right. If you go and look at a vehicle and you know, and they only have one of those vehicles to show, it's going to be the one with everything in it. So, I mean, it's always best case scenario in that case. And they're going to draw you in with that. And then, you know, you get the cons later, you know.
Yeah,
here's all the pros. Sure. And, you know, once you buy it, you'll know all the cons.
Here are all the pros for VR, a virtual experience that you've never experienced in your entire life. The cons, you look like an asshole. God, they didn't
tell
me.
Most of you are assholes, but now you really look like one.
They didn't tell me after all this money I spent that I look like an ass. No one told me that. All you have to do is look on the cover of Time magazine, and that's what you're going to look like.
Please, let's not talk about that.
The internet has been having a field day. Guys, if you want to have a nice chuckle at work, just look up Time Magazine virtual reality memes and just
have
a great day.
It's just
have
crazy
a great
how many
day.
There are.
So good.
There's a lot.
So, but I mean, there's a little more with the PlayStation experience, I guess we can talk about in terms of like mini predictions. You know, what are the things that you think or that you want to see happen at this PlayStation experience?
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, what else can they show off? I mean, they killed E3. They broke it. I mean, this particular conference that they gave at E3 had everything that everybody wanted. Mm-hmm. It's like, what can you do at PlayStation experience that's going to top that? They're going to have a keynote. I mean, is there new stuff we're going to see in this keynote? I mean, there has to be. I mean, we've seen all the stuff that everybody wanted to see. So now it's like, you're going to be repeating yourself over and over. So, and right. that's the worry with some of these. Their big thing,
though, was that, you know, we said this at E3, that, you know, overall for us, PlayStation, quote-unquote, won, but they had the best lineup of things that are coming way further in the future,
and
where Microsoft showed
and
up.
Beyond.
Yeah, but Microsoft showed up what was coming very soon.
Right.
So I think we'll see dates for some of these things. I think we'll finally see No Man's Sky release date. We'll see The Last Guardian release date. I think we'll see those things.
Well, I guess by December they might have that information, so I can get on that. I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
But, I'd love to see new stuff. I would love to see some new stuff.
Microsoft definitely kept some stuff under wraps and, talked about things at Gamescom that they did not mention at their E3 keynote. So
yeah,
you really got to wonder
right.
if there's going to be any of that happening.
Right.
I just want to see more Horizon. Can I please see more Horizon? That's all I want.
Yeah, Horizon.
That would be fine. That would be totally fine.
Give me some more Horizon.
Can we get an hour and a half of Horizon? Thanks. Appreciate it. PlayStation wins. It's over.
Just show that and then do the mic drop.
Can you announce a downloadable demo for Horizon, like now? I want to fight that giant T-Rex, robotic T-Rex that you did in E3. That would be good.
My main prediction, and this is something that I can almost... With beyond a shadow of a doubt guarantee that's going to happen at the PlayStation Experience is that with the advent of Microsoft coming out saying, backwards compatibility is going to be a big part of the future of the Xbox One. It was a huge win for Microsoft to unveil it. And, I think they're going to completely restructure PlayStation Now.
Well,
I think they're going to completely restructure it because I really can't fathom that is a very lucrative business model for them.
Right.
And
that's one of the big things that we talked about, when they first started talking about PlayStation Now. It's like, am I going to be able to play the games I already have using PlayStation Now? And the answer to that right now is no. And that's a problem because there's no reason that you can't stick in a PS3 Blu-ray and at least have the PS4 read what game it is. I mean, it should know it. It wouldn't be that hard. And then you could play that via PlayStation Now. The other thing that really bothers me is why do we not have native emulators for PS1 and PS2 yet? I mean, those
I
are things
it.
We should have. There's no reason. I don't think there's any reason that Sony could not put together a PS2 emulator for the PS4. I mean, if Microsoft could emulate the 360 on Xbox One, then PS4 can do PS2. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Yeah, PS1 and PS2 should be able to work for sure.
I mean, they already have the PS1 one. It was running on PS3.
Right.
I mean, they have to change the underlying architecture so that it works with the 8086 architecture that's in the PS4. But I mean, that should just be changing a layer of code, and that's it. So if it
but
was
that's
design,
a,
right?
That's a huge opportunity. You know, if PlayStation never address this. Say it's 7 years from now and PlayStation never addressed this issue. You will always go back to the Xbox One, remembering it for that's the system that was the backwards compatible winner. You know, these are the guys who just owned it and took care of their fans.
Yeah, I guess we'll
see. PlayStation may sell more, but they'll be remembered for the people who didn't take care of their customers just as well as Microsoft did. And I don't think Sony, even though they're winning in sales, I don't think they want that reputation. So I can almost guarantee some sort of announcement that, yeah, we're going to see a restructure of Now for sure.
Yeah, it was a smart move on Microsoft's part, and it was a really big announcement, got a lot of press. So, I mean, it would be smart for Sony to answer back to that one and not just sort of let it slide.
I would agree.
For sure. And that's news, guys.
All right. Well, let's do some new releases.
All right.
I've got a few here. Make sure I've got the right dates. What's today? The 15th. All right. So we're talking next week, 16th, 23rd. By the way, we're recording on Saturday. That's why Jeff's not here, because he couldn't make it today. And Travis couldn't make it Thursday because he was
watching
a preseason.
I was watching the Saints a preseason.
So.
Saints before Indus. I'm sorry. They were here first. It's only fair. And happy birthday to Tanya Mahoney, Jeff's wife.
Happy birthday.
By the way. Oh, Tanya Chorney.
Tanya Chorney. That's right.
So yeah.
It's going to take a little while to get used to that, right? So
yeah.
All right. Next week, quite a bit of there's a whole lot of nothing, but let's go over some of these things. Armacrog is coming out for PC. I don't know.
Huge.
I'm not even
huge
sure
game.
What that is. Volume is coming out for PlayStation 4, Vita, and PC. Dungeon Travelers 2, The Royal Library and Monster Seal is coming out for Vita. That looks like it's a, it's an RPG. All the RPGs are coming to PS Vita.
Oh, Vita.
So Revelations 2 is next week on Vita. Resident Evil Revelations 2. Zombie U is hitting PS4 and Xbone, which is unusual.
It's alright.
A Wii U exclusive got switched over and still has
kind of interested. I'd play Zombie.
No, I'll skip that. Yeah. The Bridge is coming out for, get this, Ouya, PS4, PS3, PlayStation Vita, and Wii U. Adventures of Pip is coming out for PS4. Arcade Archives Bomb Jack is coming for PS4. I'm going to skip that one. Let's see. Gianna Sisters Dream Runners is coming for PS4. Gunstar Heroes for 3DS. That's pretty cool. Shadowrun Hong Kong is coming for PC. Trine 3 The Artifacts of Power for PC.
Ooh.
Whoa Dave is coming for Wii U. And LBX, what is that? Little, does that say Little Battler's Experience? Yeah, Little Battler's Experience. All right, that's coming out for 3DS. And there you have it. That is your new release list.
All right. Pick of the week.
That's a tough one. There's not really anything I'm very interested in.
Mine's easy.
Go ahead.
Since you don't get it on your report, Tales of the Borderlands, episode 4, Tuesday.
Yeah, the new episodes don't show up on this. Yeah. So.
That's my pick of the week for show.
I'm going to double check something really quick. Releases.
But I do want, depending on the price, Zombie U may be something that I may want to get down
something
the road
in the future.
Yeah, why not? I like zombie stuff.
If I was gonna get it, I would probably just get it on the Wii U at this point. So, let's see here. Whoops, that's not what I wanted. Game. I'm gonna say that if you don't have Gunstar Heroes in some way, shape, or form, you should probably get that.
For
because
sure.
Because that is probably one of the best Genesis games ever.
And just a great game to have for portable, period. That would be fun.
I'm looking at a list, and there's also Helldivers Super Earth Ultimate Edition.
Is that an expansion for...
I don't know. But I'm trying to find more info on it, and I don't see anything. But I'm interested, because that was one of those games
Helldivers
where...
Helldivers was awesome.
As I was reinstalling stuff, I was like, why did we stop playing Helldivers? That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too. Helldivers Super Earth Ultimate Edition. So I'm looking at a different list now. I'm trying to start using two different lists to kind of get a little bit broader of a spectrum. And wait, that's not next week, is it? No, it's not.
It is not, no.
Okay. So yeah, that's the only, it looks like it's just Helldivers on disc.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay.
So,
aside from that, I also see that the Call of Duty Black Ops 3 beta is on PS4 next week on the 19th. So,
okay.
Is that for pre-orders only?
I would assume so, unless you have some sort of code to get into the beta. But, they definitely look like they've changed a lot in that game.
I was kind of interested in the campaign.
Yeah, when we saw those videos on E3 of it, it almost looked Destiny-ish. It almost looked like there was some supers happening on the multiplayer matches. And
well, there's also I was actually looking into some things that I found interesting that they're focusing on, since it's not an advanced warfare thing where you have exosuits and jetpacks and everything. They're trying to give the answer to the movement of things, and your character is going to have like a lot of different forward and horizontal momentum to kind of keep it based in a little bit of reality. Since you don't have like the technology that the last game had, and it seemed interesting, like the way that you can kind of quick dodge out of the way if you're turning a corner and there's a guy there, you can stop on a dime, turn around, so it's still keeping the maneuverability there. Even though the technology is not there from the last game.
Right, so essentially throwing a little free running in there, basically. It's cool.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Good stuff. All right, that's it for new releases. I have a few emails here that I want to go through. So it's a good thing that we, that you're on the show this week, Travis. So.
Oh, yeah?
This one is from, Jerry. I've mentioned Jerry on the show. He's a buddy of mine. We, get together for game night quite often. And, he recently got a PS4, including Batman. He has that sexy silver one. I'm quite jealous. And he sent in an email mostly addressed to you. And he goes, "Hey, Travis, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I got all the Riddler, all the riddles in Arkham Knight. And let me tell you, I regret everything.
Everything.
The Nightfall Protocol video was not worth the pain and labor of collecting all of those stupid ass trophies.
It was not.
So, if there's anyone out there, let me tell you, don't be like me, a now old, crusty, and bitter gamer. Listen to Travis and YouTube it. Travis has warned you. Trust the Travis. Do not collect the trophies."
Thank you. I appreciate that. Validation.
I YouTubed it. Yeah, if I would have actually gone through all that work to get it,
I would have been pissed.
Yeah,
I would have been like, pissed. And honestly,
that's it.
And honestly, credit Jason A. Stryker. He's the one that told all of us that, guys, just don't. It's not worth it. Don't do it.
That's true.
Just,
that's where it came from first, right?
Spreading the message from that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because he told us off air about that, right?
Yeah, it was an email thread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, this one is from Zeke. I know that he's been actually having trouble getting emails into us, so I'm glad to see that he got one in. He says, "Hey guys, Zeke here, long time no, right? I've been listening though. Since I have been, stuck on Marvel Puzzle Quest, hell for, wait for it, 655 consecutive days now, I have been thinking quite a bit on this topic. What makes a free to play game good? Are there acceptable paywalls? And if so, how should they be designed? What do you think is a reasonable monthly amount you should have to put in to stay competitive? Is paid to win ever acceptable? Is paid to not grind acceptable? The one question that might hit a little too close to home, is it okay to specifically design games that take advantage of gamers' OCD? Nice talking to you again, Zeke." That's a lot of information to cover.
A lot of info.
We have talked about some of this before. So one of the we've talked about microtransactions, you know, like crazy. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, one of the things that I'm okay. Okay. Look, if it's pay to win, I'm fine with pay to win. I'm not going to pay to win, but just don't do pay to not suck. That's my big thing. It's like, I don't want to be complete shit at this game because I didn't give you $5 to upgrade my mm-hmm. character or whatever it is. So, and you know, there's a ton of examples out there, but yeah. That's one of my pet peeves. Pay to not grind. I mean, that's almost the same as pay to not suck, right? So, right.
Yeah.
Cause the grinding in free to play games is absurd in some cases. And that's one of my pet peeves about free to play games. In my opinion, how to make a free to play game the right way. Unfortunately, it's not out here, but PSO2, the only thing that you pay for is cosmetic. Everything is cosmetic. Like, you can buy different outfits for your characters and things like that. From what mm-hmm. I understand, that's the way that works.
Yeah.
There may be some upgrade items in there, but it is not like you can't go into that game and play it and advance at a reasonable rate without paying a dime.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be, in my
opinion. Now that we kind of jump into this, I think we could talk about this next week for sure.
You want to talk?
I think so. Yeah. Now that, you know, we kind of gotten the juices flowing a little bit. I mean, there's a couple of games out there that I'd like to talk about that kind of do things right. You know, Defiance had some pay to do things here, and let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
All right. Well, there's your then we'll do that as a question of the week. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I've got one more email. This one's long. So this one's from Mr. Sniper Maverick, and he says, hey. And I'm probably going to fumble over myself on this one because of how long it is. Indus, what's going on, guys? So I'm an episode behind, but most likely delayed. But I wanted to write in a little bit about my game of the year so far. Probably comes at no surprise, but it is, drum roll, Batman Arkham Knight. I'll try to keep this extremely biased Batman boner at bay while I gush a little. The game is incredible. Great story. Fun, polished gameplay. It looks gorgeous. The musical score is a pure... great musical score, and a pure level of detail to the property only Rocksteady could nail just right. Not a lot of people a lot of people seem to have two big issues with this game. One being the Batmobile. Yes, it could have driven a little easier. Yes, the game jams it down your throat. The tank hybrid, yeah, I could have done without without it being in the game that much. But at least it was an honest attempt to try something different in the series. People bitched and moaned Warner Brothers Montreal's effort with Origins, and Rocksteady delivered with Knight. They may have just went overboard a little too much with it, though. The other issue is the ending. The incomplete ending, and I hope he doesn't go into spoilers. Sorry, I didn't look at this. Sorry, I'm skimming real quick to make sure he doesn't have any spoilers. Okay. The other issue is the ending. The incomplete ending, that is only unlocked by either completing a certain amount of most wanted missions, and the full ending that is received after bringing in the Riddler. That son of a fucking bitch. Now I completely understand this complaint. If I wasn't probably the world's biggest Bat fan, ooh, Jason might have something to say about that. The incomplete ending would definitely still piss me off. Why delay an obviously much thought out and crucial ending of the series by putting it behind tedious gameplay that only hardcore idiots will do? Well, this hardcore idiot did it all. I collected all the Riddler trophies, all his challenges, all his bullshit, and honestly, I was left satisfied by the even still ambiguous ending. But as mentioned earlier, that could just be the Batlove talking. All right, so there's a different view of it. He actually liked the final ending. Let's see. As for the game that might top it, I'm not too sure. I'm definitely excited about quite a few this fall. I'm sure games will come close, but Batman. Benny called me out for something. What's he calling me out for? Side note, I wanted to address something Chris brings up sometimes on the show. Chris, you mentioned a few times that you don't think Microsoft tries to compete at the same level Sony and Steam does with their sales. Are you only referring to deep discount games such as 50 to 80% off? I'm confused at this because they definitely constantly have great digital sales weekly. Some not as meaty as other weeks, but definitely good. And not even for games that are out yet either. Okay. Microsoft has been constantly having pre-order deals for their digital titles, both big and indie. The last few games I downloaded, Witcher 3, Mortal Kombat 10, and Batman Arkham Knight are all digital pre-orders at 20% off. Nice. Which was sweet. I think that if you were able to browse around the store daily, you'd be able to see that Microsoft Digital Game is out there right alongside with Sony and Steam. In summary, buy an Xbox One too, guys. There's some great stuff there, and it's an awesome exclusive lineup looking ahead. All right, guys, keep it up, take care, and be good.
I'm gonna call Sniper out. I think Jeff told Sniper to send that email in. Hey, tell Chris he's wrong.
So
tell him to buy an Xbox.
Jeff gets annoyed when we don't have Xbox Ones. But to address that point, no, I don't know all of the sales out there. But you know, I see a lot of the ones that are reported on, and I would think that if they had things that are as big as like some of the flash sales that Sony has and some of the holiday sales that Steam has,
right,
that we would see more reporting about it. So, I mean, if they're out there, great. That's good for the people that are buying from that. But you know, some of those flash sales that have 50 to 80% off. Yeah. I mean, they do those seems like once a month or so, and they're pretty awesome. So I don't know if Microsoft has those, and I'd be interested in that. Now the 20% off of pre-orders, that's pretty awesome. It's pretty much the same thing I get from my from buying from Best Buy,
right?
Yeah. So the 20% off new games. So yeah, that is definitely sweet. I didn't know they were doing that. That's awesome. But yeah, Batman.
A couple of quick comments on that.
Sure.
The Microsoft bid as well. The one thing I will say is that Sony seems to be doing a good job of being the closest thing that you'll get to Steam sales on on a console.
Right.
One of the things they're doing that I don't see Microsoft doing is putting entire publisher libraries on sale, you know, week to week, things like that. And the other comment is in terms of exclusivity. One of the things I read this week was Microsoft, some of the things they announced at Gamescom. For instance, Crackdown, Scalebound, you know, a lot of their major game announcements are also supposedly coming out on PC. So, you know, although sometimes I do think about, you know, should I get an Xbox One or anything like that, pretty much the only things drawing me that direction still are things like the Halo series, Forza, and maybe something like Sunset Overdrive. But I cannot think of any other exclusives that are on Microsoft Xbox One that I would not be able to play on PC.
See, they have a pretty good library right now that I would be happy buying one. But unfortunately, I'm at a point right now where it just doesn't make sense for me to spend that money. I also have like this price point that I'm looking at and saying, if I see one for this, I'm going to jump at it. And that's, you know, that's kind of the type of thing I'm looking for on Black Friday. You know, it's like, I would like a $300 system that includes a game I want. It's like the other day they had like a $350 system and, you know, they posted, I think that Jeff actually posted it. It was like, this is a great deal. It's like it had Halo in it and had a 1 terabyte drive and it was $150 or $350. And yes, that's a great deal, but I don't want Halo and I don't need a 1 terabyte drive for the system, because in reality, the games I'm going to get on it are probably just going to be exclusives.
Right.
And yep. I don't think I'm going to fill that drive for quite some time. And then even if I do fill it eventually, I can always just hook up an external, because that's one thing that Microsoft did is let you play games off an external, which is awesome. So I would be more interested if I saw the Sunset Overdrive one for $300, I would probably jump at that, because that's one of the games that I want to try and play. Now.
Right.
Omer, what you said about things coming out on PC as well, that is always going to be a good option. And you know, I was doing that for a while. I bought, what's it called? Titanfall. I bought Titanfall for PC and that was great. And now I'm at the point where if I'm looking at some of these games and I'm looking at the specs and I'm like, I can't keep up with this. My 2011 PC is now old and doesn't keep up with some of this stuff. Like some of the stuff that's out on PC right now runs better on my PS4. So, right. Which is why I'm sticking with console right now because I have to upgrade the video card, the dual video cards in my 2011 PC.
Sure.
So.
No, I mean, yeah. I understand that, and it's different for everybody. I'm just saying that for me in general, that's a big factor in me deciding whether or not I eventually want an Xbox One. And, yeah. You know, that's not me talking shit. I would like to play some of the Xbox One exclusives. It's just, it has to make sense for me financially, you know, the same way as it does for everybody else.
What was the one that they showed off? They finally showed off gameplay for at Gamescom.
Crackdown?
No, the Time Stop one.
Quantum Break.
Quantum Break.
Quantum Break.
That looked really, really good. I was super interested in that game. So.
Yeah, if I don't have an Xbox by Tomb Raider, I will definitely have one by Quantum Break.
Yeah, I mean Quantum Break looked really, really good. So yeah. I'm very interested in that. The one concern that I would have about Quantum Break is that they would overuse that mechanic, and it seems like all you were ever doing in engagements is using the time mechanic to get behind guys and take them out.
Yeah.
So that would be my only.
You were also
concern.
Probably seeing a super beefed up, you know.
Oh sure, that's probably
version
far,
of that
yeah.
character too.
That was probably so, later sure. in the game where he's got like a lot of the extra powers and that kind of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but like what you're saying applies the same way to Fallout 4, which, you know, they said they kind of cut down the VAT system a little bit. You know, now instead of stopping time and allowing you to target certain things until you're done.
It slows it down a little bit.
Right. It slows it down, so it's still sort of real time. You know, just sort of slowed time instead of stopped time. So, you know, same thing could apply there.
Yeah.
Agreed. Sure. Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Sniper. That is all the emails we have for today. So question of the week, let's talk about free to play and what is acceptable when it comes to paywalls. I mean, I think that's the easiest way to put that one out there. So like if you're playing a free to play game, what would get you to put a little bit of money into it? So that's the kind of thing we're looking for. Answer that. Send us an email. That address is email at interactivedistractions.com. Send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
Yep.
Yep. If you're on Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, or Stitcher, search for Interactive Distractions or Twitch, and you will find us. And, for Twitter, check us out. We are Indus Podcast or Indus Questions. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Omer, what's your Twitter?
GNT underscore Slugger.
GNT, Game and Talk.
Right.
Man, yeah, how long ago was Game and Talk for you guys?
I don't even recall at this point. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Does it feel good to podcast again?
It kind of does. It kind of does.
Do you miss it?
We've talked about, you know, trying to get back into it here and there, but it's just, it's
hard. It's time consuming. It's time consuming.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, both Robbie and Jamal, they both have kids, and, you know, it's hard to find the time.
Yeah, fuck those kids, guys, man.
cool. Also, Unistrike and Indus Geoff. So, follow those guys as well. And I think that is it. You guys have anything before we wrap up? And get
nah, man, you nailed it.
Did I? I would hope so, considering I do this. I've done this 368 other times. Should be refined by now, you know. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review. So until next time, my name's Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Omer.
Hey, there you go. Didn't even have to cue you or anything. That's good. See? That's a good guess right there. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.